You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 10th, 2021, President Biden continues his trip to Europe in the UK. And, of course, that meeting coming up with Russian President Putin. He told American troops in a brief meeting at an air base in England, "I'm going to be firm and tough with Putin." That's what he says. But he's already giving him an allowance to go ahead and continue that pipeline linking Russia directly with Germany, making Germany more dependent upon Russia as well as other European nations before it's over with. He did sign with the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson what they're calling a revitalized Atlantic Charter, modeled after the 1941 agreement. They say we have shared values on global challenges, including counterterrorism, Afghanistan, evolving challenges in the Indo-Pacific, Middle East, and Russia. But, of course, he's already made it clear, as he told some of the troops that he was addressing, the biggest threat to our nation is not an enemy force, but climate change. We have a series of shootings, and, of course, anytime you have a shooting like this, it's tragic. But we always have the left rushing in, even before sometimes the bodies are removed from the scene, again saying, we need more gun control. We had one earlier today in Florida, Palm Beach area, a Publix grocery store. Three were killed when a gunman opened fire, and one of those being a child. They don't know exactly why, and supposedly the shooter was also killed, but whether he took his own life or by police is not clear at this point. San Jose, California, of course, had a shooting the other day that took place at their Valley Transport Authority, and the San Jose, California mayor stepping forward saying, we need an assault weapons ban, and we need it right now. Yeah, we want an assault weapons ban. I guess he didn't bother looking at the facts that in that particular shooting, the shooter did not have a so-called assault weapon. He had three handguns. He had acquired all of them legally and registered per state law. So that's like you qualify to drive your car, you get the license, you're entitled to drive, and then you decide to use the car as a weapon. Are we going to ban all cars because you did that? And by the way, the Louisiana Attorney General, Jeff Landry, said all these bans on any firearms are, in his words, ridiculous. There are 24 states following the Attorney General of Louisiana in hopes of putting an end to the New Jersey high-capacity magazine ban. And again, the main point from the Attorney General Landry is that bans against any firearms are ridiculous. No one's going to pay attention to that. And in fact, back to San Jose, where you've got the San Jose, California mayor saying we need an assault weapons ban, the San Jose government press release admits criminals, this might surprise you, criminals won't obey mandates. Of course not. Congressman Jeff Duncan, Republican, South Carolina, says if we're going to give non-citizens the right to vote in local elections across the nation, we are going to invite foreign interference in our electoral process. So we have the Democrats all concerned about Russian collusion affecting our elections, and now if they're going to go ahead and allow non-citizens or illegals to vote, even if only in state or local elections, it's going to give, as he said, foreign nationals influence in some of our most important issues. There's a new poll out, Scott Rasmussen, saying that 65% of Americans believe it's a good thing for immigrants to assimilate into our culture. 70% of Democrats, 85% of liberals believe it's good for immigrants to influence our culture, not assimilate, but to turn it around. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, says Dr. Anthony Fauci continues to be dishonest about regarding Wuhan, the COVID-19 pandemic. He said he's lied over and over again. Oh, Joe Biden, President Biden, of course, as you know, is in the UK, as we said, on his trip. He was appearing with American troops. He has been vaccinated, and yet he's still wearing a mask while he's talking. They're going to push that in your face every day.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Baby, I got your number.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Parents, the longer that you wait and you don't hold your child's schools accountable gives these guys more time to dictate what's best for your child's physical, mental, and emotional health. Don't be afraid to speak out for your kids because they are voiceless and they rely on you. You should be afraid of them rooting for socialism by the time they get to middle school.
That is a very scary thought, isn't it? That your kids are now in elementary school, by the time they get to middle school, they might be full Marxist if we continue on what many want to do with the critical race theory proposal. Now, you get a lot of definitions of critical race theory, and it depends, obviously, on your perspective. Generally, and I say generally, they're looking at it as an academic movement. They acknowledge that, of civil rights scholars and activists who want to critically examine the law and the issues of race and to challenge mainstream approaches regarding racial justice. And in the process, though, what they end up doing is wanting to encourage kids, regardless of their color, to make skin color a critical decision as to how you relate to them. Or relate to yourself, or see yourself. Of course it pushes that whites are privileged, and whites have always claimed supremacy and will continue. That's the basic thought. And those of color are always downtrodden. There's some legitimacy that exists in that, obviously. But like anything that is true to some extent, now it's being manipulated and pushed around. It is supposed to be a way for students to be indoctrinated. That's really what it comes down to. And we have some school boards fighting back. In fact, I'm looking at a report now that from Jacksonville, Florida. The Florida Board of Education today approving a proposal that specifies how American history should be taught in public schools, and it outright bans the teaching of, quote, critical race theory. The original change proposal would bar teachers from attempting, quote, to indoctrinate or persuade students to a particular point of view. They did not mention critical race theory specifically, but the language was added in an amendment presented by one of the board members as they gathered. And the head of the Florida Education Association said not only was the proposal change political, but also unnecessary because critical race theory is not taught in Florida schools. That's the point. That is the point. Yeah, it's not being taught, and we're not going to allow it to be taught. But you may still say it can't be that bad. I mean, there's got to be some good. I mean, we want to teach race relations for kids. Well, all right, at some point when they can really understand. But what happens is they end up having white students suddenly feeling a terrible amount of guilt, which they don't understand. They don't know the history. And many of their fellow students at that age, they don't really know the history other than what they've been told. And sometimes those telling them history don't know the history. It's what they're passing along. And it happens the other way, too, for white kids that are being told something by grandparents or relatives who are racist, and they kind of put that into their head. Every child is born open to that extent. There is no racial bone that exists in your body. It's created. It's put in place. It is massaged and given room to grow until finally, if you're not smart enough to realize, hey, this, I'm not going to judge anyone by color of skin. And I'm not going to feel like I'm guilty simply because I'm a different color. I want you to hear from a woman, a mother of children who is at this time, now she's in the Loudoun School District, that's up in Virginia. Her son actually graduated from the school back in 2015, I should add that. I thought one of them was still in, but not. She testified to the Loudoun County School Board members what's really behind this critical race theory, and her comparison, based on her personal knowledge, it parallels what she saw in China. She was 6 years old when Mao's Cultural Revolution began. She was able to escape China at age 26 and got away from it. But she said the Cultural Revolution that she saw, even when she was six and until she left the country, immediately pitted students and teachers against one another by hanging big posters in hallways in the cafeteria where students could write criticisms against anyone that they considered ideologically impure. She said one of the teachers was considered bourgeois because she liked to wear pretty clothing, so the students would attack her and spit on her. She was covered with spit, and pretty soon it became violent. She talked about communist squads would raid homes and destroy any relics of China's past culture, history, governments, religion. Kind of like tearing down statues of the South, you think? Erasing the history. She said anything considered old. Buddhas, everything taken out and smashed. And she said there were thought crimes. We were asked to report if we hear anything about someone saying anything showing that there's a lack of complete loyalty to Mao. She said there were children reporting their parents and their parents going to jail. But at 26, she was able to get out and come to the U.S. And she said, it's such a free country. I have free access to all sorts of information, books on both sides of the issue. But she's worried what's happening with our school children with this critical race theory. I want you to hear the comments she delivered as she was talking to the school board, giving them some of the background that I gave you. But then in this excerpt you're going to hear, she's going to tell you and them how much it parallels what she escaped. She, Von Fleet, and her remarks.
I've been very alarmed by what's going on in our school. You are now teaching, training our children to be social justice warriors and to loathe our country and our history. Growing up in Mao's China, all this seemed very familiar. The communist regime used the same critical theory to divide people. The only difference is they use class instead of race. During the Cultural Revolution, I witnessed students and teachers again turn against each other. We changed school names to be politically correct. We were taught to denounce our heritage. The Red Guards destroy anything that is not communist, old statues, books, and anything else. We are also encouraged to report on each other, just like the Student Equity Ambassador Program and the Bias Reporting System. This is indeed the American version of the Chinese communist, the Chinese Cultural Revolution. The critical race theory has its roots in cultural Marxism. It should have no place in our schools.
Yeah, the audience gathered, mostly parents. They liked it. The school board members, I don't know how much they liked it. And again, one of the teachers from Fairfax County, Virginia, went over to talk to the neighboring London County Board again to point out what you heard at the beginning. She's saying, parents, if you don't do something now, by the time your elementary kids get to middle school, they're already going to be young Marxists. And she had a warning. Lilith Vedenetson also had a warning for teachers and students.
Teachers, it may seem that our careers have come to a dead end, but I'm here to remind you, we don't work for the school board. We work to mold the next generation of well-rounded American patriots. So don't give up, because it is up to us. Students, you are on the front lines of these indoctrination camps. Challenge the staff when you are presented with a ludicrous statement, and do not allow anybody to tell you that you cannot accomplish anything because of your skin color, or to hate yourself because of your skin color. Students, it is up to you to be the next generation of victims or victors.
That's a very important statement. Do you want to be a victim or you want to be a victor? And she said you should challenge any time you're presented with a ludicrous statement. Don't allow anybody to tell you you can't accomplish something or anything because of your skin color, or to hate yourself because of your skin color. She also was asked to go on Fox News to expand a little bit on her thoughts of what's at stake in this process.
I believe that most teachers do want the best for their students and for the families of these students. But at the same time, there seems to be a divide. One side is okay with the narrative that we are pushing, using to indoctrinate our children. The other side isn't. The side that I am on, unfortunately, is very afraid to come forward. They're very afraid to lose their jobs. They're afraid of the backlash. And as you know, Loudoun County is notoriously known to go after those that do not agree with them.
Go after those who don't agree with them. Does that not replicate what we heard earlier from Xi Van Fleet, who escaped China, when she said communist squads would raid homes, destroy relics, and teachers and students were pitted against each other and then student against student? And she points out in that Fox interview that there's more than just an issue of color of skin. This is a much broader issue that could be a condemnation for this nation.
As you know, Loudoun County is notoriously known to go after those that do not agree with them.
So why did you decide to speak out?
Because these children are the future of this country. And if you love this country, you will do anything and everything to stand up for the vulnerable population, and that is our children. They cannot stand up for themselves. They cannot speak for themselves. They fear retaliation. It's up to us adults, parents, and teachers alike to come together and speak up for them for the sake of this country.
You know, we've had this going on for some time in our institutions of higher learning, as they are called. They have become so liberal that you send your child off to one of these institutions of higher learning and their mind is still being shaped. They might think they have a good hold on things, but then they get into this institution of higher learning, and if their view conflicts against what the teacher thinks, well, then the teacher is going to punish them. And it's not based on an issue of fairness. Sometimes it is based on maybe the color of the skin of the student. And that's worked to the other side for decades as well, too. Maybe a minority student felt like I can turn in the same work some other student does, and I'm going to be marked down because my skin is dark. I have no doubt that happened. But does it make things better to now punish those who have an opposite color skin? Does that bring unity? Does that really bring us together? I know about a student that in a prestigious private school had turned in a piece of artwork, and immediately the teacher was denouncing it. And I'm not even saying this had anything to do with politics or color of skin. Student turned in the same piece of artwork the following semester, and it suddenly got a great grade. So the teacher was never really solid in their decision anyway. Let us remember the warning, the simple warning that came from Xi Van Fleet after she fled China communism at age 26.
The critical race theory has its roots in cultural Marxism. It should have no place in our schools.
That's the bottom line. It is not supposed to be part of our school, not at an institute of higher learning, certainly not at an elementary or middle school. Coming up, fire everybody at the top of the CDC. What do you think about that? Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So as I said in news and commentary at the top of the hour, Senator Josh Hawley, Republican, Missouri, hammering National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci. He didn't call him fake. That would be me. But he called him and blamed him for what he said is, quote, a dishonest approach to responding to questions about the Wuhan lab connection to COVID-19. He said, we saw it over and over again. He said, if we brought it up, we were considered to be a conspiracy theorist. He said, Dr. Fauci said, this is a naturally originating virus. We shouldn't ask questions. I'm the scientist. I know. Well, last night on Tucker Carlson, Senator Hawley said, there are many legitimate questions about the involvement and the potential involvement of that lab. We need to get to the bottom of it. I agree. Don't you? Yes. I'm answering for most of you. Maybe some of you say, no, I'm fine. I heard from a friend yesterday. I hadn't communicated with her in a while. Sent me a picture, and apparently a story had been done on him on a local TV station, that for 2 months, he was, well, maybe up to 4 months, and basically on death's door. He came down with COVID. It hit him that hard. His father passed away, and he didn't even know it because his father caught it and passed away, but he didn't know it for weeks because he was battling it himself. Congressman Massey, Republican of Kentucky, said it is also time, and again, Fauci is with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, but he is the person Biden is relying on for all the information. The Centers for Disease Control is the overall reaching thing, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Well, Congressman Massey, Republican of Kentucky, said, if the government response to this virus has taught us anything, it's that everyone at the top of the CDC government needs to be fired. He said it's being far too generous to characterize their constant stream of lies as misrepresentations, misinterpretations is actually the word he used, and typos. He said keeping schools closed or even partially closed based on what we know now, unwarranted, it's harming children, it's become a human rights issue. He points out that last month the New York Times had a report the CDC estimated the risk of coronavirus transmission outdoors is 10%, greatly exaggerated. The CDC was citing the 10% backing up its recommendation that vaccinated individuals do away with masks in certain outdoor situations but should keep them around others. It turned out it wasn't 10%. It was 1% or less. That was the fact. And, of course, Dr. Fauci has been busy defending himself, appearing on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow. She said, you have to be really thick-skinned, don't you, because they continue to attacking you. And he said, well, what I'm really concerned about is not so much attacking me, but it's an attack on science. They're attacking science, not me. He said, I'm a public figure. I'm going to take the arrows and the slings, but they're just fabricated. But right now, it's a very vehement way, distorted way, attacking me, but really what they're doing is attacking science. Well, which science, Dr. Fauci? The science you said in the beginning, it's not going to be a big deal? Masks won't do any good? Or the science when you said you need not one but two masks? Or the science when you said when you're vaccinated you don't need a mask, and now you're told maybe you do? And here's Joe Biden, our president today, addressing troops in a hangar in England. Been vaccinated, and he's wearing a mask? What science do you want us to follow and believe? And then we've got VP Harris. Boy, did she muck it up. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, there's all those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
But I'm laughing. I don't understand. I haven't been to Europe either. I haven't been to Tahiti. Maybe she has. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But that was VP Harris the other day. And again, I'm giving props to Lester Holt of NBC, NBC News anchor, that asked that question and stayed with it. Didn't let her just laugh it off. He said, you're going to be asked this. What? And here's the thing. She was in Guatemala at the time for that interview. She had flown right over the top of our U.S. border at probably, oh, let's say, maybe 30,000 feet. An Air Force 2 going down to Guatemala. She could have looked down and said, well, I saw the border when I was flying. She could have said that, but she said, I've been to the border. I've been to the border. And yes, she had. And when she was a candidate, sure, she was down there. And when Trump was in office, oh, yeah. She was down there with a camera crew saying, look at the way they're abusing these kids, putting them in these cages. And, of course, in many cases, the so-called cages were the same detention centers that Obama had used. And, of course, she was the Attorney General of California, so she knew about the border issue in California. And she, as the Attorney General of California, was all about making California a sanctuary state. We don't need no stinking border. Let them come on in. But not to my house. They can go into your neighborhood, but not my house. Not in my backyard. But that question her response to that question sent shockwaves to the White House. That's not just my impression and thought. One of the CNN reporters, Dana Bash, said, the White House is not happy with the way she handled the administration. Not happy. And Don Lemon Fruitcake on his program, he dealt with that issue. I'm glad he did. He went right into it. So, again, let's give props where it's due. He had on a couple of guests, one of them being the CNN national reporter, Maeve Reston. And he said, we have had one of our CNN reporters saying that the administration is not happy with how she handled that question. How do you explain that, Maeve Reston?
I think that we've seen this time and again from Kamala Harris, Dawn, throughout the campaign in 2020. When she doesn't like a question that she gets, she often deflects in a way that can seem defensive. And the point that Lester Holt was making was obvious to anyone else who was watching this interview, which is that the issues at the border are inextricably linked with the portfolio that she's been given, which is to stem the flow of migration from Central America. And so it was a really perplexing answer that came off as flippant. And I think that's what people within the White House are reacting to.
Yeah, and it was flippant. I've been to the border. You haven't been. Well, I haven't been to the European border either. That's pretty flippant. In other words, I don't need to be bothered with a question. I don't need to be there. And I want to stress to you again, do I think anything would change with VP Harris or even Biden going directly to the border? Would it change it? It wouldn't change a damn thing. And she's saying, well, I don't want to go for a photo op. I'm working on a grander scale, bigger thing. But the issue is, she and Biden know that if they're at the border, even if they're talking to some friendly Border Patrol agents, if they can find any, or anybody that will kind of kiss up to them and praise them for what they are doing, well, then it's still going to bring more attention and heat to the issue. And, of course, keep in mind, as you heard the CNN White House or national correspondent say, Harris was given this portfolio by Joe Biden, and it wasn't really anything she wanted. Let's pick up that part of the interview.
There was any number of ways that she could have answered this question that came off differently. I mean, she has visited the border as Attorney General of California. She visited the border when she was a U.S. Senator. And so she's reacting in a defensive way because the right has been trying to make her into the administration's border czar. And that's not the portfolio she was given, and it's not a role that she wants.
That's the key. And I told you from the beginning, the day Joe Biden said, Kamala, I want you to be control of the border. It's all in your hands. And she smiled like, oh, great, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And no news conference, not even talking to reporters until that interview the other day with Lester Holt for 70-plus days since she'd been appointed. And I told you, I would have loved to have been a fly in the room after she hung up the phone and started telling her staff what she thought about Biden giving her that job. And you know what? There are even reports now that some Democrats, and not just in the White House, are saying, we hope Joe can hang on because it's pretty apparent just right there that Harris has no business being the vice president, much less the president. Remember, she was not winning when she was running. She withdrew from the race. The only way she got a breath of fresh air was when Biden reached down to pick her up and put her on the stand with him. And even when you got Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNN expressing dismay, distress, and calling it out as a big flub, you know there's been somebody's dropped something along the way, right, Don Lemon Fruitcake?
The right has been trying to make her into the administration's border czar, and that's not the portfolio she was given, and it's not a role that she wants. But we really saw that come through in her answer.
Okay, so listen, hindsight is 20/20, and you know, say we can sit here and say woulda, shoulda, coulda. You know, I would have answered it this way. I felt that it was a layup. That she had to be prepared for that question by her team, and how could she not have an answer for it? Maeve, is that the central? Is that what? People are.
Yeah, I mean, how could you? That's one of the most obvious questions that you're going to get. And so to not have a good answer for it is what has drawn all of this criticism, Don.
Yeah, you just wasn't ready for what obviously was going to be asked at some point. But then again, maybe she thought, Lester won't bother me with that. And then you got CNN political analyst Ashley Allison taking part in that discussion with Don Lemon Fruitcake last night. And, of course, she said, well, yeah, this happened to Harris, but you got to keep in mind there is an excuse. There is an excuse. Oh, yeah, the left progressives always have an excuse. And it begins with, let me see, if we can use race and gender, that's our starting point.
Black women are often held to a different standard and are scrutinized at a level called defensive, called flippant, called all these things because we get one thing wrong. That is what I'm saying. And I think that her answer was not perfect, but I don't think it should be in a news cycle for an entire week.
Listen, I don't disagree with what you're saying, and I accept that. But also remember, I mean, listen, what happened with Hillary Clinton, who's a white woman, you know, that talked about her voice and that she was defensive and she was robotic and whatever. It's often something, I don't want to mansplain, but you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. It's often something that happens to women, especially women who are in power.
See, they're already making excuses for her. Because it's got to be because she's a woman. And not just a woman of color, she's a woman. There is no doubt, we have all been told, depending not only on your race or your gender, but sometimes that because daddy owns a business and you're hired for it, you're going to have to do more and work harder than anybody else to prove that you're there on merit. And yeah, women have been put to that test. Minorities are put to that test. Asians apparently seem to have no problem with it. It's built into their system. We're going to charge ahead. That's why some universities like Harvard and so forth started trying to keep Asians from coming in because it was getting overloaded. And that's why Asians turned around and filed a lawsuit against Harvard that they were being denied because they are such hard worker and doing better grades. The other thing about Harris, though, again, she had stated the other day, do not come. Do not come. I believe you will be sent back. Well, the Attorney General Merrick Garland was asked yesterday, do you support her remarks that, or would you tell migrants in Mexico and Central America not to come to the U.S.? And Merrick Garland punted. He wouldn't really say, no, don't come. This is the Attorney General due to enforce, scheduled to enforce our law. So I guess he can say, well, don't pay attention to me. Pay attention to how Harris handled that interview.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Yeah, and I don't understand. Right. Coming up, advice for blue state residents by those who have left. And Zuckerberg, what he does is just plain weird.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Yeah. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Based on the numbers of 2020, Move.org states that Florida, the state of Florida, was the number one relocation destination for Americans looking to move. They were leaving New York and California. They came in first and second place as to the states that had the most folks choosing to leave. Epoch Times did a piece talking about that and dealing with some of the particular personal stories of some who had left either New York or California. And they were pointing out that the national average in property taxes is 1.07%. 1.07. Floridians, Floridians, I should say, pay only 0.83. Now, note this. California residents pay even less. They pay 0.73. But the cost of everything else in California erases the benefit of the lower property taxes. And Florida is one of only nine states in the nation with no state income or wage taxes. So they interviewed one guy leaving California, and he said, well, the reason I left is because the crime rate's going up, gas prices, cost of living, I can't go anywhere. And he said, you walk on any street and corner, you find trash, needles, feces. It's disgusting. He said more illegals are flooding into California. The governor's doing nothing to stop it. In fact, he gives them stimulus paychecks using our tax dollars. So he said, I want out of here. Then they talked to someone out in New Jersey down in Florida, saying I left that area. He said, you talk about blue. I was in Pennington, New Jersey, a tiny little town. The people as liberal as they get. And both of them have advice for those left behind in the blue states. You need to start making better decisions on who you vote for. Now, of course, they're out of there. They're in Florida, and they're very happy with Governor DeSantis. And telling those left behind, you need to make better decisions on who you vote for. And, of course, the states where they're going, like Florida or Texas or other red states, say, don't come here and try to create what you left because we don't want that in this state. And yet you look at Texas, my home state, and I'm ashamed to say even my birth city, Austin, is blue, partly due to the University of Texas base there because over the years the University of Texas thought to have a higher reputation rather than just being maybe considered a hick school of the South. They start bringing in various professors from the Northeast, liberal professors. And pretty soon that became what you were being taught in the University of Texas. So, yeah, there are folks that are leaving some of these other locations. They're going into red states, and they want to re-implement and recreate what they left. They fled the sinking ship. They're the rats getting off a sinking ship, and what do? They get onto another ship, and they create the same mess all over again, chewing a hole in the bottom of the boat till it starts to sink. That's pretty much what some of them will end up doing. At what point would they learn? Maybe never for some of them. Because for one thing, they're going to put the blame somewhere else. And of course, say that the rest of you folks are making the difficult things for them. But I just wonder about the homeless in the streets of California. They've been there forever in San Francisco, not forever, but for many years now. We all know it's been documented. I mean, conventions are not even going into California and certainly San Fran anymore because their conventioneers would be exposed to all this, so they just go somewhere else. There goes money. There goes money that could help. And I just wonder what the homeless on the streets of San Francisco, and you know they're aware of it, they can't get a place to stay. They can't get anything or say they can't. And yet the state's continuing to allow more illegals to come in, which are going to mean more homeless. Do you hear anything there that sounds rational to any extent? Any logic? Bueller, any logic there? No, not likely. And there's no logic in what Mark Zuckerberg was videotaped doing. He posted the videos of himself doing this. And you talk about that adds to the weirdness. Zuckerberg, of course, is a Facebook CEO. Now, you know, if you go into a gun range, you should, because you're inside a closed facility, even if you're out on an outdoor gun range, you should wear ear protection. Now, of course, when you're really involved in an event where you have to pull your pistol, you won't have it, and you're just going to have to deal with it. But if you're going to go there and shoot repeatedly and others, then you should wear ear protection. Mark Zuckerberg was wearing ear protection. No. He was not in a gun range. He nowhere near a gun. What he was doing, showing pictures of him throwing spears at wooden targets, shooting a bow and arrow at bowling pins, and he's wearing hearing protection. No, he's not listening to music. It was hearing protection. You know, the sound of an arrow hitting a bowling pin, that's pretty loud. Or a spear into a wooden target. He said, I have a particular set of skills. Maybe. But you're also showing your stupidity. You need ear protection for that? Hey, always, I appreciate you joining us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.